Hallelujah, he is risen. Let's go ahead. He is risen, amen, amen. Let's have a word of prayer before we start the message. Lord, we just give thanks to you for this day, for the wonders of your grace, for your presence with us, for the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ that just gives us such hope and joy when we focus on it. And thank you for the children's sharing, for the choir, for the worship team, and for all the different things you've prepared for us today. Lead and guide in each thing. Lead in the message that it might be pleasing in your sight, that it might strengthen our faith and bring glory to you. Bless each and every one. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. 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 Happy Easter.
Happy Easter.
Thank you for joining us this morning for worship. And we've enjoyed some wonderful music from the worship team and from the children's worship time as well, from the choir. And in all of the music, the words echoed the theme of the resurrection of Jesus Christ and the blessings of salvation, joy, love, and peace that God gives to those who trust in Jesus. The last song we sang just a moment ago, we enjoyed, was called He Lives. The lyrics are in the bulletin. If you want to take a look, you can see. And we're going to look at the words of the chorus of that song one more time. He lives, he lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives. He lives within my heart. This is not just a song. This is a proclamation of the resurrection of Jesus, a celebration of Jesus' presence with us, a testimony of faith and an encouragement to all to seek Jesus. This is what Easter is all about. Proclamation, celebration, testimony, encouragement as we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus our Lord. May the Lord bless you today with all of these things and more. Billions of men and women around the world and across the centuries of time have come to know Jesus and to enjoy the blessings of trusting in him. One person I'd like to mention this morning is Henry Garapi. Now, most of you have probably never heard of Henry. But Henry was a man who gave his life to loving God and to loving his neighbor. Henry served in the Salvation Army, a Christian denomination that is a bit unusual in its use of military-style terms to emphasize that we fight against good, we fight for the good and against the evil in the world, in the spiritual battle in the world as we try to advance in the name of Christ to do good and to bless people. And as a Salvation Army officer, Henry battled the suffering brought by poverty and he fought for the truth of Jesus his whole life. Born in 1930, Colonel Henry Garapi was promoted to glory on April 3rd of 2010. Don't you love that? He passed on, he went to heaven, he's promoted to glory. Amen? The day after his death, Henry celebrated Easter in heaven with Jesus. He died on Saturday before Easter in 2010. He celebrated Easter in heaven with the risen Lord. That would be exciting. That would be wonderful. Henry was a prolific author, and he constantly wrote about Jesus and about what it means to be a Christian. One of his books is called Portraits of Perseverance. We have a picture there. And in this book, Henry told about a rich man named Carl and a poor man named Hans. So I just wanted to share a shorter version of the story of Carl and Hans with you. Carl owned a large estate in a valley, and he would often ride a horse through the valley to check on his property and his workers. And one day Carl was riding, looking at all that he owned and congratulating himself on his great wealth and success. As he rode over a hill, he came across one of his tenant farmers, an old man named Hans. Hans had stopped his work for a bit just to eat some lunch. As Carl watched, Hans bowed his head and gave thanks to God before eating his lunch. And his lunch was just a single slice of bread and a little piece of cheese. Carl, sitting up on his horse, was unimpressed. Carl said, "If that's all I had to eat, I wouldn't bother to pray." But Hans replied, "It's enough, and I'm thankful that God has provided it." Startled by the old man's answer, Carl turned his horse to leave, but Hans said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute, I need to tell you something. You see, I had a dream last night, and there was a beautiful scene in the dream, and then a voice said, 'Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die.'" Carl mocked Hans. But as the day went on, Carl began to worry about what Hans had said. "Tonight, the richest man in the valley will die." And Carl summoned the doctor to check his health to see if he was okay. And the doctor couldn't find anything wrong, but even so, Carl was worried, and he couldn't sleep that night because he was worried, "Tonight the richest man in the valley will die. Am I going to be okay?" Finally, morning came, and Carl got up and was fine. And before long, though, a messenger came. And the messenger came and said to Carl, "Carl, old Hans died last night. Who was the richest man in the valley?" Carl had money and property and owned all this land. Carl lived in luxury. But old Hans owned nothing at all. He barely had food to eat. And yet, Hans had peace with God and a thankful heart. Now, there are many voices in the world that tell us to seek wealth and fame. Many voices tell us to be like Carl. And our pride often drives us to do the same, because we want to do good and we want to have things and we want to show that we're important. It's in our human nature. But Jesus told his followers in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. In heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Where is our treasure this morning? Where is our treasure this morning? Do we want to know how to have true riches, a life of peace and joy, treasure in heaven? True riches are received by faith, by trusting in Jesus. I think Hans would have understood very well. Let's go ahead and look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 8. In this passage, Paul writes to the Corinthian church about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul writes, "Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. And then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also as to one abnormally born." In this passage, Paul says in verse 2, "By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you have believed in vain." We have a painting by Rembrandt here. As Rembrandt imagined Paul writing, painting may not be realistic to the time of Paul, but it gives us the idea of Paul writing and concentrating, perhaps on his letter to the Corinthians. And as Paul is writing to the Corinthians, it says, the issue at stake is salvation. The Apostle Paul had previously visited the city of Corinth, and he had preached the gospel to the people. That is the good news of Jesus Christ. He had shared with them, and yet they needed to be reminded. And now in his letter to the church, to the believers in Corinth, he's sharing once again, and he's reemphasizing the key points of his message, those most important things that must be remembered. And Paul continued in verses 3 and 4, and he said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day, according to the scriptures." Paul did not invent the message that he preached. When you look at the Gospels, the New Testament, the writers, none of them have the liberty to invent the message they preach. Instead, they are passing on what they have received from the Lord. And as a faithful messenger, Paul is passing on the message of salvation that he had received. The word Christ refers to the Savior, called the Messiah, whose coming had been prophesied by the prophets before that time, hundreds of years before the time of Jesus, that the prophets had spoken about Christ, the Messiah, to come. And they gave many details about the Messiah. Even before Jesus was born, many details about his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection were already recorded prophetically in the Old Testament. And as Paul stresses here, the death and the resurrection of Christ happened according to the scriptures. In other words, just as it was written in the prophecies, in accord with what was written. Christ died for our sins. And this statement, it reflects the fact that we all say and do things that are wrong. Wrong in the sight of God. We do things that are wrong in the sight of God. The scriptures, the Bible calls that sin and says we are all sinners because we've all done things that were wrong in the sight of God. We're all sinners, and our sins separate us from God the Father. It's hard to have a relationship with holy God when we are in sin. It breaks the relationship. But Jesus came, and he lived a perfect and sinless life and gave himself on the cross as a sacrifice to pay for our sins. Jesus died in our place, taking upon himself the death penalty that we deserve, even though he was innocent, but he took it upon himself so that we might be reconciled with God and receive eternal life. He was buried. After the Roman soldiers confirmed that Jesus was dead, his body was taken down from the cross and quickly prepared, wrapped in grave clothes, and buried in a stone tomb. Probably a cold stone tomb. A stone was rolled to the entrance, and it was sealed with a Roman seal that warned that no one should touch it. Guards were posted to make sure that no one could disturb the tomb. He was buried. Jesus was dead and buried, and precautions were taken by the Romans, the government, to make sure that no one could disturb the grave, that no one could steal the body or do anything of that sort. He was raised on the third day. This is the resurrection we celebrated Easter. Our Lord Jesus was dead and buried, but he didn't stay in the tomb. He rose from the dead on the third day. And this is the greatest proof that the promises of the Bible, the many things God tells us in the scriptures of how he loves us, this is the great proof that it's all true. Because Christ rose from the dead, we believe, we trust, we follow a living Lord. Jesus is alive. In the passage we read just a moment ago, Paul also said that over 500 witnesses saw Jesus alive after the resurrection. And Paul added, most of whom are still living. This small added comment is very important. It's a very special thing because what it tells that Paul, he's writing his letter to the Corinthian church about 23 years after Jesus died and rose. And what he's saying is that most of these 500 witnesses are still alive at that time. In other words, Paul is telling his readers, or at least his first readers at that time, that if they have any doubt about what he is saying, there are hundreds of witnesses who saw Jesus alive, who are available to testify and to confirm what Paul has said. He says, if you don't believe me, go ask 300 other people, or 400. That's a lot of witnesses. That's a lot of evidence. And Paul encourages his readers to go and check it out. There is strong evidence to support the historical fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. First of all, as Paul records here, there hundreds of people who saw Jesus alive after his resurrection. Many of these people are known by name and by the writings they left behind. the Gospels, the letters of Peter, the letters of Paul, and more are testimonies that are available and reliable. And further, there's the testimony of the empty tomb. The body of Jesus was never found because he was alive. The tomb was well guarded, sealed with a heavy stone and with a Roman seal. The body could not have been stolen. There would be no motive for that. There was no opportunity for that. And the scriptures record also that even though the body of Jesus was gone, the grave clothes were still there. Think about that a moment. You know, some people say, well, maybe the disciples stole the body. But think about that. It is unimaginable that anyone who was stealing a dead body would undress it first and take the clothes off to steal a naked dead body instead of a clothed one. Just unimaginable that anyone would do that. The grave clothes being left behind is a powerful evidence that Jesus rose from the dead. The grave clothes being left behind only make sense if we accept the resurrection. There's the powerful evidence of the fulfilled prophecies given hundreds of years before Jesus came. The prophet said the Messiah would rise from the dead, and he did. And there's the powerful evidence that millions of people across the centuries, around the globe, in every place, have experienced a personal relationship with the living Lord Jesus. We experience fellowship with him. As the song earlier said, he walks with me and talks with me. I know my Savior lives because I know him. By human power or wisdom, resurrection of the dead is impossible. But the Bible tells us that it was God who raised Jesus from the dead. And for the Creator God who made the heavens and the earth and everything in them and that gives life to us all, for God, the Creator God, the resurrection is not difficult. He created everything and gave life in the first place. Restoring it to Christ would be a simple matter for him. And the scripture tells us that that is what he did. The scripture tells us something more, something very important in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 to 19. This time I'm reading from the New Living Translation instead of the NIV that we usually use. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. And all of this is a gift from God who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them, and he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. God was in Christ Jesus. In other words, the true identity of Jesus Christ is God. God himself came into this world in the person of Jesus Christ in order to provide salvation for the people of his creation. Therefore, when we believe in Jesus, we are reconciled with God. It's often said that Christianity is a relationship, not a religion. Now, we have to acknowledge that if you make a list of religions or for the dictionary or something, Christianity is, in one sense, a religion. But this saying still, the statement makes a very important point that what we talk about in Christianity is very different than what most people think of as religion. The heart of Christian faith is a relationship with Jesus Christ. The Christian believes in Jesus, talks to Jesus, walks with Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no Christian faith. Because what makes Christianity real is not a bunch of teachings or philosophies or something. It's Jesus himself that makes Christianity real. The heart of Christianity is knowing Jesus and walking with him. This is why the resurrection is so important. You can't have a real relationship with a dead person. You know, some people try, but it's just not a real relationship to talk to a dead person. They're not there. They've gone on. But Jesus is not dead. Jesus is alive, and we can talk with him, and we can hear his voice in our heart. In John chapter 20, it records the story of the man they call Doubting Thomas and how he became a believer in the resurrection. Now, Jesus had already appeared to the rest of the disciples and to the women and stuff earlier, but somehow Thomas wasn't there when Jesus came. Thomas was out to lunch or shopping for lunch for everybody. I don't know. But Thomas wasn't there. But Jesus comes again a week later when Thomas is there. Look what it says. John 20, verses 24 to 28. Now Thomas, called Didymus, was one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe it." A week later, his disciples were in the house again and Thomas was with them. And though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." My Lord and my God. Thomas was a little slow, a little stubborn, calling Doubting Thomas. But I kind of like him. He just wanted to make absolutely sure. And Jesus answered that need and gave Thomas the evidence so that Thomas could be absolutely sure. And now Thomas gets it. Jesus is alive. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God come to bring salvation to his people. Think about, notice closely what Thomas says. Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." This is very personal. Thomas is claiming this close relationship, connection with Jesus. My Lord, my God. Very personal. Thomas is affirming that Jesus is Lord and God, but he's also affirming, claiming a personal relationship, a close and intimate relationship. My Lord, my God. Not just some Lord and some God, just my Lord and my God. It's personal. It was personal for Thomas. Is it personal for you? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus? I pray you do. Amen. The answers to all of life's most important questions are found through a relationship with Jesus Christ. Where did we come from? Why are we here? What is the meaning and purpose of life? How can we deal with loneliness? What happens when we die? How can we be forgiven for the wrong things we have done? Where can we find strength to go on living day by day? The answers are found in Jesus. In Jesus. See, God created us so that He could love us, and our purpose is to walk with God. Jesus is always with us. We are never alone. When we die, we go home to heaven to be with Jesus. We trust in Jesus' completed work on the cross. Our sins are forgiven. As we walk with Jesus, His Spirit gives us strength and wisdom to overcome the struggles and sorrows of life and to persevere and to keep going. It's not always easy to keep going. Sometimes it's hard. But Jesus, through His Spirit in us, gives us strength, hope, joy, and peace. In Romans chapter 10, verses 9 to 13, Paul explains how to begin a personal relationship with Jesus. Some people say, well, how do you do this? How do you start to have a relationship with Jesus? And Paul explains it in Romans 10, verses 9 to 13, very, very simply. Paul says that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the Scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on Him. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Don't you love that verse? Don't you love that verse? Everyone, even Dan, even me, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. That's so wonderful. This promise is for all people. This promise is for me. And this promise is for you. Wherever you're at in life, call upon the name of the Lord. You will be saved. We call upon the name of Jesus, invite Him to be Lord of our life. We are forgiven from our sins and we receive the free gift of eternal life. And eternal life is not just long life. If we were just talking about long life that's like the life we have every day, some people would say, hey, I don't want to live forever in this sad and sorrowful world of sin. But that's not what it's talking about. Eternal life isn't about just how long it goes on. It's about quality. It's about abundant life. It's about resurrection life of joy and peace. It's a relationship with Jesus. By the way, in your bulletin today, we gave you a couple extra things. We hope you enjoy them. There's a DVD in there. It says, Aikibo Kiseki, Love, Hope, and Miracle, Through the Eyes of Magdalena. Now, some of you I know, you're going to glance at this, and you're going to turn it over, and you're going to look on the back, and it's all Japanese. And some of you are going to say, hey, great, it's in Japanese. And some of you are going to say, my Japanese isn't that good. But it's only in Japanese, but if you look down here at the bottom part here, it actually says that it's in Japanese and English. So you can't read the cover maybe, but if you pop it in your DVD player, English is there too. And not only English, but there's subtitles. There's subtitles in Spanish, in French, in Chinese, in Korean, in Arabic, in Portuguese, in Russian. And that's not all the languages. I know some of you say, well, how come my language isn't there? But they did their best. They covered as many as they could. So maybe one of those it could act in. And this is a good movie. It's a good movie. I think you'll enjoy it. And it tells about how this Mary Magdalene came to realize who Jesus is and how to have a personal relationship with Jesus. It's a good movie. I enjoyed it. I'm sure you'll enjoy it too. And also in your bulletin, there's some art from Noel, our church artist, works in the office. There's a art card that shows Jesus after he died and Mary looking very lonely and sad because Jesus died. And there's another interesting one with Jesus alive, risen from the dead. And this is a third one. You don't have this one, but this is another one from Noel. So this is one more painting from Noel, and I wanted to share this also. And it shows Mary meeting Jesus after his resurrection. And what I want you to notice for a moment is Mary isn't meeting an idea. She's not learning a wise teaching. She's not receiving a set of rules for life. Mary is meeting a person. It's very personal, a relationship with Jesus. And this is the Christian faith. It's not a religion. It's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I pray that each and every one of us and our family, friends, and neighbors would meet Jesus, would know Jesus, would enjoy and be blessed by a loving relationship with Jesus. It's all about Jesus. Amen? It's all about Jesus. Praise the Lord. We're going to close now. I want to share one more verse as we close that just kind of wraps up what we've been saying or what I've been saying and what the choir and the children and the worship team were sharing in music and scripture. And it reminds us that this message is for all the nations, for you, for me, for all of us. Luke chapter 24, verses 46 to 47. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Began at Jerusalem, but today it's gone around the world and it's right here in Osaka. Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will preach in his name at OIC this morning. Amen. Jesus loves you. Let's pray. Dear loving Lord, we are awed by the wonders of your love. We are thrilled by the joy of the resurrection. We are humbled that Jesus died on the cross for us. Lord, open our minds to understand. Open our hearts to receive. open our mouths to confess, my Lord and my God, Christ Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit among us to help us to have a wondrous relationship with Jesus Christ. Whether we're renewing that relationship yet again today after many years, or whether we're confessing our faith for the first time, touch us with your hand of blessing. Fill our hearts with your Spirit. Grant joy and peace to each and every one. Bless us, Lord, your people. Bless each and every one. Help us to celebrate with joy this Easter, the resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. In whose name we pray, amen.